I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the most haunted city on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we have Eni with us
Yay!
Today.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yes, Eni's back. It's been a while, but we're going to be talking about St. Patrick's Day today, which it felt very appropriate to bring Eni in for that. So if you aren't familiar with Eni, do you want to give a little brief introduction for yourself?
Sure. I'm Enika Enfield. Some of y'all know me from TikTok and Instagram as the lover of all things Savannah, Georgia and spooky. I also used to work in broadcast news here in Savannah, and I have covered a crap ton of St. Patrick's Days.
Exactly. She's the expert on Savannah St. Patrick's Day for sure. Before we get into that, though, we do have a few announcements for you. First, we want to thank some new Pava Junkies. So we want to thank CBXTR. I don't know if that's supposed to be a word, but CBXTR, Elise, Adri, Coley, and Melissa. Oh, and Wendy as well. Thank you so much, y'all, for joining us on the Parajunkie side. We have lots of fun content coming for you as we chug along to Waverly Hills. And so if you are considering becoming a Parajunkie along with, you know, obviously we're going to be doing lots of live streaming. We're going to do lots of exclusive content while we're at Waverly Hills. Also, we have a catalog of content that we've done for a couple years now that we've been building up. So you have lots and lots and lots of hours to go through. So
got a long road trip. Load us up.
Exactly. Load us up. We'll keep you entertained. So it's really fun though over on Patreon. There's some really cool new features on that app in general. That's been really wonderful to see. There's group chats now. So the Parajunkie community has been very active with that. They have like group chats. There's like the Fae Daddy group chat where they like literally only talk about the Fae, which I'm sure this has been very active because I don't know if you've been on this side of TikTok or not, but there's like been major Fae encounters like all week, like crazy Fae encounters.
Yeah, giants. Mm.
Giants, yes.
Giants have made a surprising comeback in the last few months.
Is that why you're actually taller today?
Yes.
My people.
It's like there's been fae traps like sprouting.
Yeah. I have seen that.
Yeah. Lots of people walk out and it's like there's a fairy ring in their front yard and they're like,
I think it's because the spring is a springin'.
And so the fae
are springin'. And so we've just been getting tagged like crazy. Like every time I open TikTok, we've got like 5 new notifications of fae traps and people are like, Fae Daddy, descend. And I was like, well, don't step in it. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
Stay
away from it. At least you acknowledge that it is a
put a cake down.
Put a cake down. Well, actually, I don't know even about that. Then you're now you have. They're like, we like you. You feed us sugar.
Sugar.
but yes. Yeah, so enjoy. You know, meeting new people and communicating with other like-minded individuals over on Patreon. It's very fun. Also, if you're new here, we're going to Waverly Hills on April 24th. It's a haunted sanatorium and a tuberculosis hospital. And we have the whole hospital to ourselves.
That's going
to
be cool.
It's
massive. Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes. Maybe we'll run into some of their cryptids while we're there as well.
Might go digging
for the goat thing.
The meth hog.
The meth hog.
We're going after the meth hog.
They might be coming after us, though. Fair enough. So we have a lot in store while we're over there. So definitely stay abreast of that. But otherwise, let's go ahead and dive on into old St. Patrick's Day. Even though none of us are Irish. Are you Irish at all?
Maybe a little bit.
My grandmother was Irish.
Yeah.
The Follises from Eastport, Maine. I have Irish in me. Somewhere,
I have none.
Somewhere in there.
I have zero.
Like right here. This area. Right. generally, and that's
just right. That hand.
Yeah, just the same. Well, actually, maybe half of it. These two fingers.
These two fingers are Irish, but yes, but just by living in Savannah, though, we are Irish by proxy for one day a year. Mm-hmm. And this year, actually, it's a big year in Savannah because it's a 200th celebration of St. Patrick's Day in Savannah, which is going to be absolutely ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm personally. We're battening the hatches.
I'm evacuating.
Locking the doors and hiding.
I'm going to the parade.
Oh.
I am going to the parade.
I'm glad
I'm not working it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can actually enjoy yourself, you know? And then you can leave when you're ready to. Uh-huh. It's
there are people who you know, have their spot always picked out every year. We got lots of friends who just like know exactly where they're going to be. They camp out right before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big deal. I have a friend who has an Airbnb off of, I think, Houston, and makes a headquarters out of it. So
nice.
Yeah. Usually because we live downtown, we're going to batten down the hatches, and we have a nice little back patio area. So, you know, we'll enjoy the sounds of it, put it on the TV, and then enjoy ourselves from our house like a hurricane. But yes,
it's a good way to think of it.
Yeah.
An Irish hurricane.
It's kind of like a hurricane.
It's a green hurricane. But anywho, going into it. So St. Patrick's Day is celebrated on March 17th. It is a cultural and religious holiday commemorating St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, and the arrival of Christianity in Ireland. This day has evolved from its religious roots to become a worldwide celebration of Irish culture with parades, special foods, music, dancing, and a lot of green. So, the early beginnings and St. Patrick's life. St. Patrick was born in Roman Britain in the late 4th century. At the age of 16, he was kidnapped by Irish raiders and taken as a slave to Ireland, where he lived.
Kidnapped by pirates is good.
Yeah, right? It builds character. Where he lived for 6 years before escaping and returning to his family. After entering the church, he returned to Ireland as a Christian missionary, and St. Patrick is credited with bringing Christianity to Ireland and reportedly used the three-leaf shamrock to explain the Holy Trinity to the Irish, which is why the shamrock is associated with St. Patrick's Day celebrations. He was also said to have driven the snakes out of Ireland, which was essentially him driving paganism out of the country, which at the time was the predominant practice. Of course, paganism is not a religion, and it is a practice. And so Ireland at the time was not really a religious country, as were most countries
section. Not like a homogenous religion.
Yeah. Of different belief structures that serve the individual groups and tribes and don't always get along.
Exactly. And so
A lot of schism.
And so they now refer to it as driving the snakes out, but that is what it is referring
Ireland
to.
Ireland is woefully unfriendly to reptiles when you think of the terrain. And it would be an easy job if you were like, get rid of the snakes. Done.
They're gone. But yes.
Not
also very few alligators.
Very few alligators. Maybe two.
The Tops. UK in general is not very friendly to reptiles. It's cold. It's gray.
Right. It's not conducive to reptilian life.
Yeah. No. Or just predators in general. I don't know. Have y'all been to that portion of Europe at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. When we went to Scotland, we were shocked at how, like, few predators were in those woods. We're like, this is very dense woods. Like,
well, in some cases, there used to be more.
Right.
But because of English colonization, they killed a lot of them, which
absolutely
is why you don't really see any wolves in Ireland either.
No.
There used to be more.
Well, yeah. And wolves were so demonized that they were killed, you know, in mass. I mean, it was just an insane extinction level event for those kinds of predators. Absolutely.
And they were just trying to awoo.
Yeah, they're just awooing.
Poor things.
They're like, nothing bigger than my foot shall exist on this island. Kill it. Is it bigger than my foot? Kill it.
That's a good way to describe it. But yes.
I'm going to train my dog to chase it down, and then I will kill it.
with its little tiny snoot.
Snoot.
But yes. So the evolution into a cultural holiday. Originally, St. Patrick's Day was a religious feast day, like many...
almost all saints.
Yeah.
You know, like, the day of the saint is a feast day of that saint.
Mm-hmm. Which I think truly stems from its pagan roots, because if you look at...
It's true.
You
it's
know, fair. Like, to be quite honest, if you look at a lot of the... practices that are done with these holidays, a lot of it comes from the original worship of deities and things mm-hmm. like that. And also it falls very close to the spring equinox.
Well, when you're trying to win over a populace that are used to a very specific celebration, solstices and things of that nature, being able to create similar things, you know, we're just going to do a little bait and switch here.
It's right.
Like, it's a spring celebration, but oh, here's a saint.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
It's like, oh, you like that god? Well, here's a saint. You know, they definitely did ascribe saints, and it became almost almost problematic in a lot of ways how the saints became icons to peoples, mm-hmm. and people mm-hmm. started to use the saint to divide from other Christian sects,
right.
you know, by saying, you know, oh, well, this is our saint, and this is how we are. Yeah, I mean, the patron saint of Ireland. You know, it's like, yeah. well, that gives you this geographic region in which that saint is holds sway. But that is because we were sewing together so many different tribes and so many different groups of people who had various belief structures, and it's like, how do we get them all under the same banner? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you give them something familiar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's you know, arguably why Christmas is when it is and how it is, because it was like, well, we got to give them something that's recognizable, that they're not,
right.
you know, that doesn't seem so foreign to them. They're like, oh, well, they already have this amazingly large celebration. They already do mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. So what if we made it a part of our religious schedule, and then people don't feel so left out. You know,
exactly.
they're suddenly not going, oh, you know, I really miss Saturnalia. I really yeah. miss, you know, my solstice celebrations. And it's like, no, we got you covered.
Okay. But in a weird way, that's also helped preserve some of those older beliefs.
It absolutely right. did.
Because a lot of our understanding today, because there are so many cultural beliefs and religions that were not written down.
No.
Right.
And we don't know what they are. Like, we know that they had them, but we're not really sure what they were. But the ones that got mixed in with Christianity, we have this little paper trail.
Right. It's kind a preservative.
Of. Yeah.
It locked them into practice.
That's a good way of putting it. I've never thought about it like that, but you're right. But yeah, so, but that is partially why I think it started as a feast day, because, you know, usually when you're celebrating a deity of some sort, that was what you did. You just had a large meal.
Yeah, if it's one thing that the Romans did well was take other cultures and put it into their own. You know, every Roman god was a god that they stole,
mm-hmm.
a god yes. that they borrowed from some other culture. So that it moved into the practice of Christianity as it spread makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
exactly. So the religious feast day was in the 17th century, and it was observed by the Catholic Church, the Anglican Communion, and the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Lutheran Church. The day commemorates St. Patrick and the arrival of Christianity in Ireland, and celebrates the heritage and culture of the Irish in general. Celebrations typically involve public parades and festivals, traditional Irish music and dance sessions, and the wearing of green attire or shamrocks. There are also formal gatherings such as banquets and dances, although these were more common in the past. Although I feel like if we had like a St. Patrick's Day like ball, people would like flood to something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know?
Event coordinators, get on that.
Yeah, bring back the St. Patrick's Day balls and the banquets.
We still have a civic center. We could throw a heck of a party.
I think people would love that. But the first recorded St. Patrick's Day parade was held in New York City in 1762 by Irish soldiers serving in the English military, which helped spread the celebration. The holiday has since been celebrated all over the world, particularly in the U.S., Canada, and Australia, where there are large Irish immigrant populations. In many parts of the world, St. Patrick's Day is celebrated by people of all backgrounds, regardless of Irish heritage, and major landmarks are often lit up in green to mark the occasion. And boy, do we know it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Today, St. Patrick's Day is perhaps the most widely celebrated Saints' Day in the world.
Absolutely.
Modern celebrations typically involve wearing green, parades, music, and drinking Irish beer and whiskey. Some of the largest parades occur in Dublin, New York City, Boston, Chicago, and Savannah.
Yeah.
Whee! In Dublin, St. Patrick's Day has grown from a small parade to a full-blown festival lasting several days, featuring music, performances, and fireworks. The Chicago River is famously dyed green in celebration. And then that brings us into Savannah's tradition. Yay. So, Eni, if you want to kind of break us down into a little bit of what Savannah does to celebrate.
So we have our St. Patrick's Day committee. It is made up of the oldest Irish families in Savannah, and they take this stuff very seriously.
Absolutely.
They have a Grand Marshal that they name every year, and to be named Grand Marshal is a very big deal. I felt so sorry for the guy who was named Grand Marshal of 2020.
Oh, yes.
Because he had waiting for forever.
Yes.
And just a couple of weeks before the St. Patrick's Day parade, that's when everything shut down here.
Oh,
and I was like, I'm so sorry, man. I know you've been waiting for a long time for that.
And it was like, yeah, a once in a lifetime kind of situation, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it has not stopped. What? Maybe twice? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was like only twice in the history, in the 200-year history of doing this, has there been like a pause.
Right.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy.
But we also dye the Forsyth Park Fountain green. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
They used to do it to the river. They used to pour like just tons of dye into the river.
It wouldn't last for very long, though.
No.
They would just be like, oh, what happened?
Yeah.
Like streaks of green just running down River Street. And you're like, what? Ah.
And our river is incredibly fast flowing.
It's very fast. It's a very fast river. And so it would create streaks of green.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, it looks like somebody, a leprechaun got sick into the river. And it's like, well, yeah, okay.
So, fun fact that I learned about dyeing the river green in Chicago, and this also applies here, is you'll notice when they dye the river green in Chicago, they aren't pouring out green dye. They're dumping this orange thing mm-hmm. into it. And I learned that that orange substance bonds with dirty water and turns it green.
Yep.
And last year, I went to the dyeing of the Forsyth Park Fountain, and they have all these families, all these Irish families. They come out and they pour their green dye. But then I noticed that there are city workers over in the corner, and they're dumping
the orange
stuff into it. And I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't step into the Forsyth Park Fountain.
Do not do that.
No. Well, it's not supposed to be a bath, you know.
No.
It's.
But then after they dye the big Forsyth Park fountain green, the city workers will go to the smaller fountains and dye those green as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Lafayette Scar fountain is probably my favorite fountain in Savannah.
It's 100%.
It's beautiful. It's very understated. But when it turns green, it's a sight. It's really beautiful.
It is.
I personally think my personal favorite is the Orleans Square Fountain.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing fountain, too.
Because that one doesn't have as much tree coverage, and so the sunlight hits it a little bit more,
right.
And so you can really see the green.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
But they also light up the City Hall green,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of other buildings will light up green as well.
Mm-hmm. And they, a couple weeks before St. Patrick's Day, they do a slithering parade, which is really cute. They've been doing it for a while where, like, it's a bunch of families that get together and they have kids and they make their little lanterns and things like that.
They make like snakes out of lanterns, kind of like Hungry Hungry Caterpillar looking.
Basically, yeah. Nice. And it's very sweet. And they march with their little lanterns and they do a parade, which is, it's just fun. That's one of the more wholesome things that happen with our traditions. Otherwise, I would say we definitely lean into the Irish whiskey and beer side of things.
Lots of drinking.
Lots of drinking. Savannah's a drinking town, and an excuse to drink is always welcome.
Yes. I always tell my guests when they come into town during St. Patrick's time, I'm like, the week of St. Patrick's Day, we like to call St. Practice Week.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everybody's practicing and preparing their livers for the actual day.
Strengthening up.
Strengthening up.
Gotta train.
Exactly.
You gotta train. Yeah, you don't want to go in, you know, untrained.
Exactly. Well, especially because it's usually pretty warm outside by that point.
Hydrate, people.
Hydrate.
Hydrate. People. And, not, and alcohol does not count as hydrating.
No. It's also the one day of the year where we have the most people fall into the river.
Yes, that's true.
If you want to go into the more dark, true crimey side of things, it happens often where people get really drunk and they're like, I could swim from here to the Westin across the river. And it's like, you could absolutely not do that.
No.
Especially with how drunk you are. You couldn't even do it if you were Michael Phelps, to be honest.
No.
You know?
No, it's very strong. Maybe a dolphin will come and eat you.
Yes.
That's always a possibility.
Yes.
Well, it'll knock you onto land.
Yes. And if you don't know.
You'll be like, I'm saved.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go
look up. Yeah.
Well, I think we talked about this one time when Sushi came onto the onto the podcast, and we were just talking about the feral Savannah dolphins.
That come up on land to feed.
Yeah. The National Geographic did a whole article discussing our dolphins particularly, because they're the only dolphins that do this sort of hunting of sorts. Look it up.
It has nothing to do with how close to the nuclear plant we are. It's that's not it.
It's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine. We don't have mutant dolphins who are going to be roaming the streets during St. Patrick's Day. Although
maybe
that would be a good movie.
That would. But yes.
We need
so,
to do that now.
Yeah, yes, we need to do it now.
Exactly. But yes, so that's usually how our sort of traditions go. We have a very large parade. The way that they, I believe, calculate who has the biggest St. Patrick's Day celebrations is by your population and then how many people come into the city to celebrate.
Well, yeah, they do a per capita thing.
Yeah.
Because we won't compete in numbers, in sheer numbers, with New York or Boston, not really. But compared to the fact that our population is about 178
right
K and we bring in millions, yeah, that's going to be
yes. And so if you were planning to come into Savannah for St. Patrick's Day and you don't already have your plans booked, you're not going to be able to make it in.
It's not a spur of the moment thing, a last minute decision.
No, it is not.
And I've known a lot of people who made that mistake. Thinking that they're going to come into town and just catch the parade or just, you know, catch some of the festivities. It's a big deal.
There's a lot of unspoken rules with how we celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where basically people will set up their chairs on the parade route. And it is an unspoken rule that you do not touch those chairs because they will leave them there for a week.
They will.
Or they will chain them to things. And
they're just staking their claim.
Yeah.
You know, this is it. This is where my family meets. And there are people who have just dedicated places that everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you try to set up in a place, they're like, oh no, that's Scarborough's place. You know, move. You can't be there. And it's like, do they own it? It's like, kind of.
Yeah.
They paid for it with blood.
Yes. You know? They will fight and throw green beer at you.
Yes.
The favorite thing, though, is when if you want to be on Lafayette Square where the parade starts, if you want to be on that square, you have to wait to set up your tents till 6 a.m. the
all
day.
The squares.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
All the squares.
All squares?
Yeah. Yeah.
They roped them off the night before because when I was still working in news, we would cover the 6 a.m. land rush.
Yes. Right,
exactly. It is insane. It is absolutely insane. Don't do it.
I believe
if you're not prepared, if you don't know what's going down, don't attempt it.
I watched it on the news last year, and they only showed Lafayette Square, so that's why my brain's thinking that. But it's so funny to watch because people are just standing there with their big tents, kind of already unfurled, and they're waiting for them to blow an air horn or something, and then they all just suddenly start exploding tents, and it's like, oh my god.
Okay, I was going to say it's intense, but you just said tense, and so now that's pun.
Hilarious. well played.
Well played.
We love puns here, so pun away. And most intriguingly is the idea that Savannah's Irish population and they overcame a lot in this community
so much
to become so prominent. When you really think, because they did not have the most auspicious start in Savannah,
and from the jump,
they're not highly appreciated. And that is an interesting truth of the Irish in America, just that immigration movement. And I remember I actually wrote a puppet show about the St. Patrick's Day festivities here. And one of the interesting things was during the Irish potato famine, ships would be loaded up with people to leave. And while that was happening, the people in Ireland referred to the ships as coffins. They called them coffins, not because the people died, but because they had never come back. You know, people who got on those boats were never coming back to Ireland. You would never see them again. So they just considered that they died. And I was like, that's intense. What a, you know, it's heartbreaking to think of these families who are saying goodbye to people. And, you know, it's almost impossible to imagine in today's society that communicating with someone would be difficult. Like you couldn't pick up the phone, or you couldn't, you know, rattle off an email or something of that nature. But the truth of the matter is, the organization to try to do those things, they didn't know where they were going to land, much mm-hmm. less how it was going to go once they got there. And they would take all of their resources just to survive. And so the community in Savannah, just through dedication to each other, became this prominent and amazing faction in it. And this parade was literally just a group of the Hibernian Society walking from their banquet to the church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was just their festival of the day was we'll have our breakfast and then we'll walk to the church. Mm-hmm. And people gathered and watched and knew it was happening and were like, let's go watch the Hibernian Society walk. And it became this monolith of Savannah culture, this, you know, really probably the most popular thing that happens in Savannah.
I would agree with that. Now, moving on to more of the folkloric elements of the thing.
Folklore!
So while the day is a celebration of Irish culture and history, it is intertwined with various folkloric elements. The leprechaun. Everybody knows about a leprechaun. So it is a type of fae in Irish folklore. It is often associated with St. Patrick's Day, though this connection is mostly a creation of American culture. Mm-hmm. Leprechauns are traditionally depicted as little bearded men wearing a coat and a hat who partake in mischief. Yes.
Yeah. Mischief.
A leprechaun runs this podcast?
Yes, JT.
JT is a leprechaun. I've caught him twice, and he has yet to give me the gold.
Yes.
I mean, that does explain a lot about their relationship, though.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Faye Daddy and the leprechaun.
That'll be our next Valentine's Day card. Yeah. But they are also known for hiding their pots of gold at the end of rainbows, and this mythology is often incorporated into St. Patrick's Day celebrations, especially in decorations. The association of leprechauns with St. Patrick's Day is a relatively modern phenomenon,
sure.
More prevalent in the United States and influenced by broader celebrations of Irish culture rather than by any direct historical or religious link to St. Patrick himself.
Here's an Irish, you know, a folklore entity, and here's an Irish holiday. They must be connected somehow.
Exactly. Yeah, they must be.
Naturally.
And
just
they
throw
just
in all the Irish things.
Yeah,
into
all
a
the Irish things into a blender. Blah, 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 blah. There it is, a green slush.
It is.
And
it's,
they serve it at McDonald's.
Yes, they do. And it's minty.
It's very minty.
Is that what leprechaun blood tastes like? It's minty?
Yes.
Ah.
I'm going on the record. Leprechaun blood tastes like shamrock shake.
And as a giant, you would know that.
I do know that.
Exactly.
My mortal enemy, the leprechaun. When I was growing up, I came across this thing that was that leprechauns are shoemakers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That they, but they're, because of their size, they only work on one shoe. So their other name was one shoemaker. I can't remember what the actual term was. That's how you'd find a leprechaun, is you'd listen for the nailing, you know, the little shoe mm-hmm. nails. You'd mm-hmm. listen in the tall grass for the sound of a hammer hitting the little nails. And when I was young, whenever the grass was a certain height, we'd sit listening for a little tink, 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 tink. Because then you can catch a leprechaun. But what you then learned was, well, they're shoemakers, so they probably don't have gold.
Right.
You know, they're just working class slobs going, leave me alone. I'm making a shoe.
I'm making a shoe for the banshee over there.
The banshee's barefoot. She doesn't like it. So I'm making a sandal.
That's why she screams.
That's why she mm-hmm. screams. She's stepping on burrs.
None of this is accurate, by the way.
And forgive my Irish accent. It's very insensitive of me to do, but I love doing it. It's like I don't want to seem dismissive of the culture, and I don't want to be insulting anyone, but it's fun to do the cartoon Irish accent. I don't mean any offense by whipping out I admit it's a bad accent. I'm not doing justice to an Irish accent. I am I'm basically doing Lucky from Lucky Charms.
Basically,
yeah.
Another leprechaun that tastes like mint.
A leprechaun,
yes.
who deals in marshmallows.
Yeah.
And you're like, marshmallows gold. Some days I might go for the marshmallow.
Right.
Yeah.
So this association is largely due to the commercialization and the popularization of the holiday in the 20th century, especially in America, where it evolved into a celebration of all things Irish.
And I would imagine, too, that when you're dealing with something like a saint day, and when mm-hmm. when people are wanting to commercialize that, you have to be kind of sensitive to people who do not participate in the religion. Mm. And so having an icon that is not directly related to, you have a leprechaun, it's like that is not a representation of the Christianity. It's not a representation of the Catholic belief. It is there so that you can participate without, treading into mm-hmm. the religious significance or the religious implications of the saint's day.
When I was a kid, I told JT this story a while ago. But I was like, when I was a kid, I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, but on St. Patrick's Day, when I was in like elementary school or something like that, my teachers every year would come into school really, really early and destroy the classroom, flip all the chairs, rip everything off of the walls. And we'd all walk into class and they'd be like, the leprechaun came and ruined the classroom.
And that's just letting out some frustration right there.
Yeah. And so we'd have to go on a hunt to find the leprechaun
That's
hidden
great.
In the school. And that was what we would do every single St. Patrick's Day. So my association with this holiday is a leprechaun that terrorizes elementary schools and goes and destroys.
I have a friend who had this amazingly wonderful annual tradition where he would build a leprechaun house with his son. And every year, the night before, they would build this house and put it out on the back porch and take pictures of it throughout the night. And then, during the night, he would change things around so that it looked like the leprechaun had come and rested in the house. Very cute, very sweet. It got more and more elaborate as the child got older.
Because you got to trick them.
And you got to do more, video. And right. It's like, I caught video of the leprechaun running through the house. And you're like, oh, that's great.
It's like Elf on the Shelf, you know?
It is an Elf on the Shelf kind of situation.
Exactly.
So I grew up going to Christian school, so I never had that.
I went to public school.
But
where the leprechauns ran wild.
But we did talk about the three-leaf clover and how each leaf is supposed to represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So
absolutely.
that's my only contribution to this.
That's totally fair.
And that was just it. The big question of the shamrock and why the shamrock is that symbol and so significant. Because that is, I wonder how many people understand that that's the point of the shamrock,
right.
of why the shamrock is so closely associated with St. Patrick. And there's a lot of people who refute that that's the truth. It's just one of those good old-timesy folk stories, but it very much could make sense that it would. But that does raise the question of the four-leaf clover.
Exactly.
What is that other leaf? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and what?
Satan.
Satan. It's humanity is the fourth leaf. It's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and humans. And that's neither here nor there, but I realize that I do know what the fourth leaf is.
Yes.
And why it's significant is because when you find a four-leaf clover, it is divinity plus humanity. And that makes luck.
That makes sense. That makes a ton of sense. Well, the unlucky ones are the leprechauns, though. So.
Yeah, the leprechauns are they're just maligned and chased and hunted. I'm just trying to make a shoe.
I just want to make shoes. So the leprechaun is believed to have been derived from the old Irish word lucorpen, which is a combination of the words loo, small, yep. and corp, body, suggesting a tiny body or a small person.
Yep.
The term evolved over time and is thought to have been influenced by the Middle Irish word leithbrogan, meaning shoemaker, which is significant since leprechauns are often described, as you said, as shoemakers. So leprechauns are mythical creatures in Irish folklore, originally depicted as cranky souls, responsible for mending the shoes of other fae.
Oh, see, souls is a pun there, too, because shoes have souls.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. These figures are part of a larger family of fae in Irish tradition known as Ishi. Leprechauns are often described as small elderly men about the size of a small child, standing around 2 to 3 feet tall. They're usually depicted wearing a green or red coat, leather apron, and a hat, which can vary in style, but often is a top hat or a buckled cap. They're frequently portrayed as shoemakers with a hammer and shoes that are often depicted as part of their imagery. Leprechauns are known to be solitary creatures who avoid human contact. Their main occupation is cobbling shoes, and it's often said that one could hear them tapping away at their shoes.
Oh, there you go.
They are mischievous in nature, often playing pranks on humans, but not with malicious intent. They just like to play a good joke.
And I would like to point out that it's weird that shoemaking has, because the elves and the shoemakers, mm-hmm. you know, the concept of protecting one's feet is a big magical thing, mm-hmm. you know, even ruby slippers. And, you know, mm-hmm. the fact that there's a lot of lore around protecting your tootsies. So
don't ruin your feet.
Don't ruin your feet. That's from like millennia of people walking around barefoot going, oh, my feet.
And don't wear flip-flops to St. Patrick's Day.
Do not wear flip-flops to St. Patrick's Day.
Protect your feet or the leprechauns will be upset.
Well, because not every puddle you step in is going to be what you think it is.
Oh, God. Anyways, on to the pot of gold.
Well, you don't want that in a flip-flop.
No, you don't. One of the most famous legends associated with leprechauns is their pot of hidden gold, and it's hidden at the base of a rainbow. According to folklore, if a human catches a leprechaun, the leprechaun must grant 3 wishes or reveal the location of his pot of gold in exchange for his freedom. However, leprechauns are tricky beings known for their cleverness in escaping or misleading those who capture them. If you've ever seen the movie Leprechaun, you'd know this.
Leprechaun? You mean the eight movies Leprechaun? Because in Space and Leprechaun in Dahood are cinematic gems.
And they're all on like HBO Max right now.
I think so. I think you can watch all the Leprechaun movies, but don't do it in one sitting. It might do damage.
Yeah,
famous biographical film.
Yes, <that's right. laughs>
Exactly.
Although, if you want to see a young Jennifer Aniston before fame, she is the heroine of the first Leprechaun movie.
Yes, she is. And they bleed green, which is so...
Shamrock shakes, people.
That is the shamrock shakes. So the evolution of the myth. Over time, the depiction of leprechauns have evolved with influences from American and global culture reshaping their image. They're like, shoemaker doesn't hit the mark for us. We're gonna just tweak it a little bit. While traditionally connected to the rural and mystical aspects of Irish folklore, modern portrayals often lean towards a more whimsical and commercialized image, especially in contexts like advertising and holiday celebrations. Leprechauns, with their deep roots in Irish mythology, continue to be a subject of fascination and a representation of the rich tapestry of Irish folklore and tradition. The specific linkage of leprechauns to St. Patrick's Day grew as a holiday, as the holiday transformed in the U.S. from a religious observance into a general celebration. And so once we get into more of the modern interpretation, today leprechauns are a fun and whimsical part of St. Patrick's Day celebrations, embodying the spirit of enchantment and folklore that accompanies many traditional tales of Ireland.
And we OP'd leprechauns. We gave them a lot of magical power.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
sad thing is a lot of like fae and fairy folk don't have magic powers. They're just other beings. And so imagine just like being out working, making a shoe, and someone grabs you and is like, grant me wishes. And you don't actually have magical powers.
Right.
You know, how weird is that? That we're like, well, obviously you have vast magical powers because you're different than me. And so I'm going to, you know, shake you until you give me wishes. Christmas.
Exactly.
Poor leprechauns.
Poor leprechauns.
And so the Fae in general are kind of associated with St. Patrick's Day as a whole. So the association of the Fae or fairy folk with St. Patrick's Day is not directly rooted in the historical or religious origins, again, of the holiday itself, because the Fae were really a part of the pagan belief systems. But as we've modernized, you know, it, like Chris said, it probably was, you know, people who don't practice Catholicism, you know.
Irish, the Irish culture was able to preserve the Fae lore so well. Irish, and many people credit the Irish with basically saving culture as a whole, because they wrote it down, mm-hmm. Right?
How the Irish saved civilization.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yes. Because they painstakingly kept record of all of these things that other people were perfectly satisfied in keeping oral tradition. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of notion that if you just tell the next person, it'll be fine. But if you're playing a 500-year game of telephone, can you imagine how warped whatever you're saying is at the end of that line?
That's a great way of putting it. Yes, it is. It's a 500-year game of telephone.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning, they were like, I saw this woman living in the woods. And they're like, 500 years later, a banshee floating with her hair screaming and all die in her presence.
Well, some people believe that the legend of the banshee actually came from the actual practice of keening,
yes,
at funerals.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes.
Because you would have people who were designated to weep and mourn for these people.
Designated mourners.
Because of their association with death, mm-hmm. Then we get to the conclusion that if you see a woman, you know, screaming in the night, that means that death is coming.
Death, right. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Exactly. And Irish folklore in general is very rich with stories like that and of Fae in general. The Ishi, also known as the Fae or fairies, which are supernatural beings believed to inhabit a parallel world. These stories have been interwoven with the secular celebrations of St. Patrick's Day, especially as the holiday has evolved. Even though St. Patrick did not drive the Fae out of Ireland,
that would have been a feat.
It would have been a feat. Some people do like to say that the Fae went underground, though, after mm-hmm. Paganism kind of left Ireland, because they weren't being communed with as much, if you will.
Well, and it's fascinating, because what began to be folded into Fae lore were things like how iron affects Fae. Mm-hmm. And what people don't really take into consideration was iron was the weapon of the invaders. Iron was the sword of the Romans, and iron did kill off vast numbers of people. So the concept that the iron itself, that the actual material, drove the fairies away and is now ingrained, deeply ingrained in Fae lore, that a fairy cannot withstand the touch of iron. Mm-hmm. You put iron, you know, carry iron with you, put iron over your door, things like that will keep the Fae away. It does. There is a correlation to the idea that there was a time when they were using, you know, stones and bone, and then someone rolled up on them with an iron sword, and it was like, oh, that's new.
That's new.
That's difficult to overcome.
That was the Fae's reaction. Mm-hmm. yes. So the Ishi are considered to be remnants of the pre-Christian deities and spirits of nature. They're often described as powerful beings who can either help or hinder humans, depending on how they are treated, because they are vengeful.
Treat them well.
Treat them well, or they will have something to say about it. The Fae include a wide range of characters, from the benevolent to mischievous, like leprechauns, banshees, and selkies, among others. These beings are deeply ingrained in Irish mythology and folklore, representing the country's rich tradition of storytelling and belief in the supernatural. So you can't entirely erase it from St. Patrick's Day. It makes sense that it got a little mixed in to the Shamrock Shake.
Right. It's more likely to be mixed in than it is to be driven out entirely.
And maybe that does actually explain why so many people fall in the river. They're not falling to the river. They're trying to ride kelpies.
Could you?
Or it's just a bunch of Fae, like, tipping them into the water and giggling.
The dolphins are dolphins. for 364 days a year, and one day they become Kelpies.
Yes. There you go.
Explains so much.
It makes so much sense.
I'm all for it.
So as the strict religious observance of St. Patrick's Day began to kind of disperse, the celebration that included the more folklore and fae sort of things, it started just making sense that it would be included in the festivities. So the association with fae with St. Patrick's Day is a reflection of the holiday's evolution, but as a religious observance, it is still not included, of course. And
So you know how at the cathedral, mm-hmm. St. John the Baptist, mm-hmm. they put up this big nativity scene mm-hmm. every yes. year. Mm-hmm. And I love walking through it because it is so unhinged. because they fill it out with random animals like penguins German shepherds. I'm like, those were not there during the nativity. But I don't know if it's there every year, but I noticed it last year. I'm walking through and I was like, that's different. They had a leprechaun. Just this little leprechaun hanging out in the massive nativity scene.
Actually, if you go around Savannah, sometimes you'll find wonderful little things like that, because there was a tree in one of the squares that had the knot.
Yes.
And then somebody put a door in the knot, and it was just like, that's so cool.
Somebody stole all the offerings from that tree one time, and I think they stopped doing it because of it. Yeah. Because, you know, people would leave like little gifts for the tree and things like that. It was a fairy hole.
It's a shame.
And nobody's heard from him yet since.
Yeah, so it's, that person's gone.
Yeah, but you know why the leprechaun was there? It's because Jesus didn't have shoes on. He was like,
"That's true.
Jesus needs shoes."
He's like, "Little drummer boy's just playing a song. I'm bringing shoes.
I'm bringing shoes.
So, these are nice shoes. All right."
I like that leprechaun voice.
I like to think that, you know, we have this idea of leprechauns being with these Irish, but the immigration happened so long ago that there's probably been generations of Irish of leprechauns. And so you got leprechauns here that are like, yeah, I'm fourth generation American.
And now he sounds like a disgruntled taxi cab driver.
That's right. Hey, I'm walking here. I got to make shoes.
But yes, so the incorporation of these elements to St. Patrick's Day serves as an opportunity to honor and engage with full breadth of Irish culture identity, including its ancient myths and legends. So that is what I have for you on the fae and Irish culture. But we have one last bit of things that I want to pass over to Eni, because Eni made a really great TikTok about the difference between St. Patty's Day and St. Paddy's Day. Eni, would you like to explain?
So this is an email that I would send out every year to the newsroom before St. Patrick's Day, because, you know, we have to make a lot of graphics and everything. And the rule is, if you have to abbreviate St. Patrick's Day, it is either St. Pat's Day or St. Paddy's Day with two D's, because St. Patty is short for St. Patricia. Patty is short for Patricia. And there is a St. Patricia. Right. Her feast day is August 25th. She's the patron saint of Naples. Nothing to do with Ireland.
Right.
And yet every year, when I go on social media, people are like, happy St. Paddy's Day. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's in August.
You got months to go.
So I warned everybody on TikTok this year that if I catch anybody wishing someone a happy St. Patty's Day instead of St. Paddy's Day, I'm just going to fill their comment section with fun facts about St. Patricia.
Oh, there you go.
So what are some fun facts about St. Patricia?
So she was a virgin. She decided that she was going to remain a virgin for life. And one of the legends is that her family, because they were wealthy, put her in an arranged marriage. And she fled this marriage and joined a nunnery. She also, after her parents died, donated all of her wealth to the poor people of Naples.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So go honor St. Patricia on her day.
Have a pizza.
Have a pizza for St. Patricia. You can put her name on it in pepperoni. Yeah.
Patties.
Patty. But yeah, that is a good point. And I never knew what the difference was. I was like, because you're right. It is P-A-D-D-Y. Mm-hmm. That is Patrick, old St. Patrick. And so, yes.
Or St. Pat's.
So if we see any of you saying that, we're going to send Eni to your comments, and she's going to unleash her
avenging. You're going to have a Wikipedia.
St. Patricia. But yes, so if any of y'all live in an area, if I know we have some listeners that live in Ireland. So if you have information on how you celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, send it our way because, of course, you know, because we are not of direct Irish descendant.
And
so.
It's fascinating because growing up, not Irish or not in the religious circles, we had a very strange comprehension of St. Patrick's Day because one of the big ones was if you're not wearing green, you'll get pinched.
Yes.
And I was like, well, what in the Me Too is this? I mean, this became so prevalent that we would panic if we weren't wearing some form of green on St. Patrick's Day because it was a license to pinch. Which is weird. You know, that's a weird thing. And no one ever really explained it. No one was out there going, yes, well, this is a time-honored and, you know, a religious function. It's like, no, it's an excuse to pinch total strangers.
Did you get pinched a lot, Chris?
Yes, because my sister conspired to hide green clothes on the day, and I would find myself greenless because I was also colorblind. I think one year my sister gave me something and told me it was green, and it wasn't. And it was like a sky blue or something. And
are we sure that Jen Hee isn't Fae?
Oh no, she absolutely is. My sister is a Fae queen, and I am proof positive that they torment the mortals.
Exactly. And what were you going to say, Eni?
So green actually isn't the color of Ireland. Blue is
right.
So I think it's really interesting that. Every year is like, no, everything is green. Nobody talks about blue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, they talk about orange, even though the association to orange in Ireland is a little
A tricky one.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, green, not blue.
Yeah. Isn't it weird?
That is very weird. And a part of me wonders, was that St. Patrick's favorite color? Or
well, they do call it the Emerald Isle.
The Emerald Isle is a big part of it, and the shamrock being the symbol. But it is strange that green is the prevailing color when there is a color more closely associated to the history of Ireland.
All the while we've been talking about this, I've just been picturing. I'm like. Imagine being a very small man who had red hair because they have, you know, obviously the highest population of redheads in Ireland. Imagine being a small man with red hair who happened to be a shoemaker a tradition.
Did you have at that point? They're like, oh, you're going to be a shoemaker. But I don't want to be. No, you're going to be a shoemaker.
Even before the association with leprechauns, like imagine how that person must have been tormented because you know somebody had to be that person, you know. Right. And I just keep picturing that in my head, how much they probably were just picked up and then give me your gold.
Gold!
And they're like, oh my God, I just want to put that new sole in your shoe. But yes, but thank you y'all for listening to today's rambling about St. Patrick's Day. I hope you have a very fun and safe St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
If you're going to be partaking, drink water.
Stay away from the river.
Stay away from the river. Don't get sucked in by the dolphin kelpies and enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself.
And if you're in Chicago or New York as well, or Dublin, Boston, be safe. Don't fall in their rivers as well.
Stay out of the river.
Stay out of the river. But yes, with that, y'all, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.